a blind squirrel who finds an acorn, or an astute politician who finds an issue that resonates with voters. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies broadcast. I'm your host today, Chuck Michaelis, Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principled Policy and also Executive Director of Camp American. And normally with me today would be Barry Sheets, who would be the host, and I would be the co-host. But unfortunately, he's sick today. And one thing I would ask of you is that both he and I covet your prayers for his swift recovery. Me, because frankly, I don't like doing this all by myself. For him, because he is truly ill. I've spoken to him on the phone. He's really not feeling well. It came on him all of a sudden. So if you would, we covet your prayers for his health. With that, we'll get right to today's topic. As usual, today's topic deals with some reading I've been doing in the newspaper. And when I say newspaper these days, I almost never read the actual newspaper just because there's so much information available on the internet. Most newspapers are now posting on the internet, and you can get most of their content online. You have to deal with the advertising. But then again, if you read a newspaper that came to your house, you also had to deal with the advertising. It's a good thing that there are sponsors out there who will continue to make sure that news is made available to us. Now, that being said, we started out today talking about a blind squirrel or an astute politician who has found a resonating issue with voters. What I'm talking about is something that has come to the forefront, and because I have a strong interest in constitutional issues, one of the things that came immediately to the forefront was the fact that Fox News ran a story on their online, foxnews.com. Former Bush attorneys general called Gingrich's position on courts dangerous. Well, I didn't have to read too far into this article to find major problems and to say to myself, gosh, it looks like I may agree with Newt Gingrich on this issue. Gingrich has published basically a 21st century contract with America, the very thing that he's gone back to the playbook on the contract with America that first got him elected to the speakership of the House in 1994 when the Republicans took control of the House for the first time in something like 40 years. Basically, I went through and I read this little piece on what Gingrich's take was on the courts. And I was very surprised to find out that I'm in very much in agreement with him on the responsibility of Congress to monitor and discipline the courts. I think what I'm going to do is talk about what exactly Gingrich's proposal is, and then we're going to look at the Constitution and see if it's correct or not. Gingrich's plan is part of the 21st century contract with America, as mentioned before. And it's called Bringing the Courts Back Under the Constitution. The version that I have here that I downloaded from the Fox News website, and I would invite you people, folks, first of all, if you're going to learn how to think critically, is to go out and read some of these things and read some of the attachments that go along with these so you really know what you're talking about when these things come up. And one of the most important things I've run into is people who comment on stories without actually having read them. And it becomes obvious sometimes because the headlines are very often misleading, as anyone knows who's read, for instance, our local large paper, the Columbus Dispatch. I occasionally marvel at the just a horrible job that they do of writing headlines. But that being said, let's go back to this. This is a 54-page paper. I won't kid you that I sat down and read this in great detail. You don't necessarily have to read things in great detail to do a good job of analyzing it. You do have to have it available so you can go back and somebody asks you a detailed question, you can go back and find these things out. This is called a subtitle, the Newt 2012 position paper supporting item number 9 of the 21st century contract with America, and that is restore the proper role of the judicial branch by using the clearly delineated constitutional powers available to the president and Congress to correct, limit, or replace judges who violate the Constitution. Well, there's some minor discrepancy here in the fact that he talks about the presidency having some power to rein in the courts. I don't think there's quite as much power there as he thinks beyond doing things like presidents in the past did before the Supreme Court achieved the what amounts to the paramount position in government that it has today. In the past, the federal government viewed the Supreme Court not as the final arbiter, but basically another opinion among the three branches. For instance, Andrew Jackson often ignored Supreme Court edicts. And in fact, in one rather famous case, John Marshall issued an opinion that he wrote the majority opinion of the Supreme Court that said that it was unconstitutional. Andrew Jackson supposedly said, John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And that brings back an old saying, you know, that the three branches of government, the way it works is that the Congress has will, the presidency has force, and the courts have opinion. Well, out of those three, guess which one normally wins out? Well, if you read the Constitution, in fact, the Congress actually has all the authority to rein in the courts. It's actually not in their normal section. The section dealing with Congress itself is Article 1. But where you can find this power to rein in the courts is actually in Article 3, which deals with the courts itself. What I'm going to do here is read to you a section, and this is going to be Section 2 of Article 3, which is from the United States Constitution, and it does deal with the federal court system. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, and that's been amended out, by the way, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants or of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. Okay, that's where it seems like Congress may not have the power to rein in the courts, but here we get a little qualification in the next paragraph. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be a party, a very important consideration there, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Now, isn't that interesting? Basically, for instance, we recently had issue 3 here that Ohio declared itself out from under the umbrella of the healthcare law that was derisively called Obamacare, and we've called it that here, so, and I like the name because everybody knows what you're talking about. Essentially, we declared ourselves out of that. Ohio was one of the states that is suing currently in federal courts to have the law overturned as unconstitutional, which it rather clearly is. What's interesting about that is that the Supreme Court came out and announced that under no circumstances would they hear this case as an original jurisdiction case. Well, according to what I just read you in the Constitution, the Supreme Court has no power to deny the states the right to be heard directly by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, no, you'll have to go through the lower courts first. And a lot of the lower courts say they will not hear it on a constitutionality basis. This is the Constitution turned on its head. And I think this is part of what Gingrich is tapping into. He understands that people have may know that there's something wrong with what the Supreme Court said, but they don't necessarily know exactly what's wrong. And the fact is that he'd like very much to tap into that, to use that as a way to get votes that he's going to, as president, rein in the Supreme Court. Well, as you heard there, there's nothing in there about the executive branch having any decision-making power over what the courts can and can't hear. But what's interesting about that is that Congress can. For instance, in the case where the states are suing the federal government in the Supreme Court, the fact is that Congress has no power to limit the Supreme Court's ability to hear those cases. But in so many of the cases where the courts have ruled on flag burning, on prayer in the schools, on abortion, on any number of social issues you can think of, the Congress has the right and the power to limit the Supreme Court and all the federal court, the lower courts, abilities to hear those cases. And in fact, one of the ways we've talked about here to end Roe v. Wade, and people poo-poo this, but the fact is it's right there in black and white in the Constitution, is for the Congress to say, pass a law that says all power concerning the definition of murder is a state power per Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, but they would say the Supreme Court and the lower courts don't have any power to hear those cases. And in fact, this has been done many, many times in the past. There are places where you can read decisions where it's very clear that the justices, when they turn the cases away, are actually, you can read it in their penmanship, they're gritting their teeth and saying, we have no jurisdiction because Congress has restricted it. So this would be nothing new. And yet what we're finding in these stories, for instance, that are coming out in this Fox News story, these attorneys general are decrying the idea that Congress would actually rein in the court. One of Gingrich's proposals here is that judges would be called before panels, committees in the House of Representatives or the Senate to explain their judicial reasoning, and they could be subpoenaed by Congress to do so. Now, former Attorneys General Mukasey and Alberto Gonzalez, both of which Michael Mukasey and Alberto Gonzalez both served under George W. Bush, both come out and make a big point about how this interferes with the independence of the judiciary. But of course, as we all know from our junior high school foray into the education on the Constitution, and if you've been in Ohio for the last few years, that has not been required. You may have had some education in it and you may not. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show, how you can get some. But in this case, the former attorney generals don't seem to have a grasp on the concept of one of the things that you learn that's a basic principle of the Constitution, that is checks and balances. And some of those checks and balances have to do with the fact that the different branches have the ability to check the power of the other branches. Currently, right now, the Congress, both the Congress and the executive branch, refuse to check the power of the courts by simply saying, well, that is an unconstitutional order and we are not going to do it. Both branches have the ability to interpret the Constitution. Both branches have the ability to implement the parts of the Constitution that they can interpret. And the fact is that one of the reasons that the Congress has the right to call judges before them, before committees of the House of Representatives or the Senate, is because they have an oversight function over the courts. And the fact is that they have the right to impeach and remove judges from the courts. Now, that being said, that is a drastic step. And one of the points that gets made in one of these articles is the impeachment power, and that's only to be used during periods of bad behavior. Now, unfortunately, we are running really short on time. And so we're going to have to continue this discussion into tomorrow. Please go out to the principledpolicy.com website and have a look at some of the classes that we're going to have available. We're trying right now in Columbus, in the Columbus, Ohio area, to put together classes for the beginning of the year that would run from January till about March or April, depending on when we start and how many holidays we have to take. We also have some in the Canal Winchester area. We have some in the Gallipolis area. Barry Sheets is currently teaching a class that's getting ready to come to an end. I'm pretty sure he wants to teach another one. We have connections with people who are teaching in the Dayton, Springfield, Cincinnati areas. We would love for you to come and learn how to use your Constitution, and it's something that you should know how to do. And unfortunately, as we mentioned earlier, if you're an Ohio resident, it has not been a requirement in schools here for several years, which is amazing to me. And we talked about how some of us went to testify in Senate Bill 165 to try and make it mandatory again to learn these things. One day we'll give you the complete travails of that little, let's just put it this way. It's been a very interesting trip for that bill. In any case, we ask that you join us tomorrow at 5:30 to continue here with our discussion on Newt Gingrich and the courts and the attorneys general. 5:30 tomorrow. Thank you for being with us.